Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. And Lord, I pray that you help me say everything that I believe and I know that you want to be said today. Let nothing be unsaid that you want said. Help us, Lord, to hear it. Help us, Lord, to receive it. And more than anything, help us, Lord, to put it into practice in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give at least three people a high five as you're being seated. Come on. We just come from a men's conference. We're high-fiving today. Thank you, singers, musicians, as always. Clayton, have you sat down? Because I want to make sure I got this right. Tonight we have got Jim Wallace, who is the
Brigadier General.
Brigadier General, commander of the SAS forces. He's speaking in North Carolina campuses this morning, and he's flying back to be with us this afternoon. And Brigadier General Jim Wallace is going to be with us tonight. We're doing something special to honor a military family. And let me tell you, without a doubt, how many love the military? Let me see your hand, okay? Here and seaboard. Let me see your hand. You love the military. Here's what I wanted you to do. How many want to honor the military? All right, this is how you do it. Be here tonight. Be in the 6 p.m. service. Show your support of them. We've got Brigadier General. That's what I got to get it right. And he's with us. And I'm going to say something that he admitted to. We had a few military guys over at the house last night for a bit of a barbecue. And he is in the Army, if you like. And he was the commander of the Special Forces. And I heard him admit last night in my house that the Navy is the most powerful branch of the military. I'm just saying, he said that he would never admit it outside the four walls of my house, but he didn't say that I couldn't say it outside the four walls of my house. So it's going to be awesome tonight. I'm excited. Are you excited, Clayton? We got a lot of good things.
We are. We got lots of good stuff planned. We got a great reception afterwards. We'd love for all of our military personnel to come in uniform tonight
as
well. Yeah,
and we do ask you to do that. Now, some of you, no matter what I ask you to do with uniform, you just don't like wearing it. But you got to understand how authority works. Praise God. All right, come on. Let's go. I want to talk to you about the God of invitation. I was in South Africa, and I felt the Lord gave me this series, and I'm finishing it up today. And if you like, I was thinking about a title. What could I call this? The God of invitation. And the title I came up with is, it's a party, and you're invited. There's nothing more powerful than being invited somewhere. Would you agree? There's nothing more encouraging when, you know, you hear there's something going on, and then you find out you got invited. Isn't it cool? Look what the Bible says in John 21, verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast with me. He invited them to have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to ask him, who are you, knowing it was the Lord. Now, this is the story of after Jesus was crucified, buried, and they were uncertain as to what happened to him because his body was missing. And here Jesus appears with the disciples who were a little bit lost and confused, and they're fishing. And Jesus said, have you caught anything? And they said, no. He says, let down your nets again. And they let down the nets and caught a miraculous catch of fish. So miraculous was the catch of fish that the Bible makes great effort to say how the nets didn't break, and yet implying the weight of fish would have normally broken those nets. And so good is our God, and so abundant is our God. Amen. That actually he'll give you things that would normally think would break you, but God's going to make sure he hangs on to the harvest. And then, of course, he actually makes breakfast, and he says, come. He goes, come and have breakfast with me. Now, this is the second time this happened. The first time is when he first called them. And that's how they all became his disciples. He a miraculous catch of fish. And then he said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So this is not an unfamiliar scene. But this is now 3.5 years later, and Jesus has been crucified, and now Jesus again is with them. They don't know it's the Lord until he actually repeats the same scenario. And then everyone was going, we're not going to ask, who are you? Even though maybe when we weren't sure, but the moment he said, come, have breakfast with me, did the miraculous catch of fish, repeated the scenario that got their attention in the first place, they all knew it was the Lord. How many are glad that God invites you? Amen. God invites you. And I want you to think about this thought of an invitation, because there's just something about an invitation. An invitation makes us feel special, doesn't it? I remember when I got invited to meet President George W. Bush. I'll never forget it. That was a special day. It's not every day you get invited to meet a president. And I was invited to be on a line, like a, they call it a rope line. The event that I was at, there were certain people who were invited to stand at the rope, and President Bush would work his way across the rope and meet people who were invited to have a moment to shake his hand and have a brief interaction, all sorts of briefing of how brief that was. But I'm there. And I had a guy with me who was in the military, and he was a friend of mine. And I always knew that President Bush was always given a little extra time than anybody in the military. So I made sure he stood to my left because President Bush was coming this way. And I said to him, now, when you meet President Bush, he will, without a doubt, engage you more than everybody else because you're in uniform. And he shows respect and courtesy to the military. In that moment, I would just like for you to just turn to President Bush and go, President Bush, I'd like you to meet my pastor. How many know you got to work it for everything you got? And then I'd already worked out what I was going to say. I had to think, what do you say when you meet the president? Because if you don't think about it, you'll say something really stupid. So I had it all prepared, exactly what I'm going to say. And he got to the guy next to me in the military. And that moment of conversation happened. And the handoff took place. And I remember President Bush looked at me. I'm invited to meet this guy. This is awesome. And I reach out my hand and our eyes lock. And we reach out hands to shake hands. And I'm about to say, hello, you know, Mr. President. And all of a sudden, this guy from behind me puts his hands on my shoulders and drives me to the ground and tries to step over me and put in President Bush's hand a piece of paper. Well, needless to say, the Secret Service did not look favorably on what the man behind me did. And I remember getting driven to the ground to my knees with my hand, and it's like, no. And President Bush is looking at me going, I'm so sorry, but this meeting is over. And he's looking at me. I could tell by his eyes. He was like, the guy behind you, an idiot. This conversation is now ended. And I almost meant the President of the United States. But boy, the invitation was good. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, an invitation makes us feel special. It makes us feel wanted. It makes us feel accepted. It makes us feel like we belong. Is that true? An invitation is powerful. It's a powerful way to reach out to others. I mean, guys, remember the first time that you were going to ask that girl out on a date? Remember that? I remember with Sharon, like I was a brand new Christian. Sharon had been a Christian for a couple of years and she was saved. I mean, she was born again. She was a spirit-filled, you know, tongue-talking, demon-chasing Christian. She was on fire for God. And then I come along and I am barely saved. And I knew that Sharon, I liked her from the moment I met her. I met her in a Bible study. And I'm thinking, how do I get this girl's attention? And I could tell, like, you know, she was, I'll be honest with you, I could tell she was way too spiritual and too hot for God to show any interest in this guy who's barely saved. But I realized if I want to get close to this girl, the way to do it, if I asked her out, she'd have said no. I could tell straight away. But I thought, I'm going to get on all the teams that she's on. So if she's on the setup team, how many know I joined the setup team? And if she's on the breakdown team, then I joined the breakdown team. And I knew that Sharon, in those early few months, would never, you know, go out on a date with me. I wasn't even going to dare to ask her. I knew she'd say no. And she was wise. She's thinking, who is this guy? Is he really going to go on for God? And she was very measured in her, you know, closeness and affection with me. But I wouldn't think, I got to win this girl. And so, remember one time we were putting out the trash and I figured it out. Well, you know, two people carried the trash can. And so, you know, Sharon would grab one end of the trash can and I would grab the other side of the trash can. And that's the closest I ever got to holding a hand. And I'm walking out feeling like pretending it was her hand that I was holding instead of the trash can. How many of you just got to work whatever God gives you? And then finally, I took the courage up and I asked her out to dinner, and I got to take her to dinner. And it was like a steakhouse, and we had steak and potato and sour cream and chives. I still remember what I ate the very first time I took her out. And I don't mean, yeah, that feeling. Do you know that feeling, guys, you get so nervous when you get to ask someone out? Will you go in there? When Josh was really like Brooke, and Brooke was smart. She was very smart. She played hard to get. She liked Josh, but Josh didn't know that. And she didn't let on that she liked Josh. She was playing hard to get. And that's why I knew Brooke was the right girl, because Josh was sick to his stomach, hoping that she would even just agree to go out with him. You with me here? And now they're here, married. Praise the Lord. And she still plays hard to get. Praise the Lord. And sometimes Brooke will say to me, do you have any idea how much your son is like you in every way? And I say, Brooke, look at me. I'm your future. To which he then goes to throw up. Praise the Lord. So anyway, all that to say, invitations make us feel special. Or maybe that business person that invites you, you know, when you're inviting a client out to lunch and, you know, and you're hoping something will come out of that. Or maybe just inviting someone over for a coffee. And, you know, a family invites another family over for supper. You know what I mean? There's just something about an invitation, isn't there? And I want you to think about this, because invitations are important and they're in the Bible. Both God and Jesus extended invitations. People extended invitations to their family and friends in the Bible. And I want to show you what the Bible looks like. It says divine invitations. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they shall be like the wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the best of the land. God invites sinners. Amen. Some Christians need to remember that, because we think we want nothing to do with people who are not Christians, but God invites them. Come now, I'll reason with you. I'll work with you. Come on, let's work this thing out. God doesn't say, hey, when you get your hair cut, get rid of your tattoo, you know, your earrings and your piercings. When you wear the right clothes, I'll accept you. God says, come on, I understand. You messed up, but you come to me just the way you are. Amen. God says, come. How many thank God? God invites. And it's not on terms. It's not on conditions. God says, come now. I'll work with you. Amen. Not only does God do it, but let me tell you, invite sinners, but God invites the destitute. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. If you have no money, come. Buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your wages on what does not satisfy? Look what it says. Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good, and let your soul delight in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That says the mercies of David. Everyone, God invites. Listen, God's not a favor of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. God says to the people in a strip club, come to me. God says to the people in the tallest corporate building, come to me. God says to the person who's lonely and depressed, come to me. God is reaching out to everybody. Thank God for it in Jesus' name. But not only does God invite, but Jesus invites. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 11. It says in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will cause you to find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't it great to know that when you come to Jesus, he doesn't put trips on you. He doesn't put heavies on you. He doesn't, you know, he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you're part of something that's too hard and too heavy, it's not God. If you're in a friendship and a relationship and it's too hard and it's too heavy, it's not God. That's not to say you don't work out challenges in a marriage. If you're in a marriage, that is God. Work it out. And maybe there is some hard things and some heavy things in a marriage, but God's with you. And God says, come on, learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But isn't it good to know that Jesus invites? Come. Everybody say, come. And the Holy Spirit invites. He invites the thirsty. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. What do we hear from the Trinity? Come. Come. Come to the waters, and you'll never thirst again. They say, come. Come, those who are thirsty. Whoever desires, let him come to the water of life freely. I love it. What we see in God's message is often in form of an invitation. Amen? And it ought not be surprising to us, therefore, that if that's God's plan, then we ought to use the model God uses. Invitation. That's why I love these little cards. They're just invitations. Amen? And let me tell you, humans actually ought to use the plan that God gave. People. And Isaiah prophesied this would happen. That God modeled it, Jesus modeled it, the Holy Spirit modeled it. Come, come, come. And look what it says in Isaiah 2. And then the word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will flow to it. Many people shall say, come. Amen. Many people. Here is Isaiah declaring in the last days, God's going to raise up his church to be radiant and beautiful. And many people shall say, come, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God. And he will teach of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Do you know Isaiah prophesied about what we're living in today? That actually not only did God invite us to come, not only does Jesus invite us to come, not only does the Holy Spirit invite us to come, but the Bible prophesies for the prophet Isaiah that God's plan for people to bring others to Christ is just by us saying, come! When was the last time you invited someone to church? I mean, we make this thought about evangelism so hard, so heavy, so complicated. Well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. What if they ask questions about theology of which I do not know the answers? God just says, hey, come on, it's my plan that all you got to do is say to people, come. Just come. Don't make it hard. Come. Come. Check it out for yourself. As I prophesied, this is God's plan. Let me show you how powerfully this is outworked in practice by Andrew, who invited Peter to meet Jesus. How many are glad Peter met Jesus? It was by an invitation. It says in John 1 verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who would follow Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, we have found the Messiah. The very first thing he did was to go find his brother and say, we found the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, but you are called to be now on Peter. Can I tell you, Peter was brought to Jesus by an invitation of his brother. And not only does God use it, not only does Jesus use it, not only does the Holy Spirit use it, but Isaiah prophesied that's how the church is going to grow. By people saying, come on, come, let us go to the house of our God. Amen. And now we read people who Jesus called the disciples and he said, come follow me. And when they followed Jesus, let me tell you, the disciples used the same model to bring other people to even become disciples. And look at this one, because not only did that happen, but by Philip who invited Nathanael. Look what the Bible says here in John chapter 1. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Pisidia. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, of whom the prophets also spoke, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked. And Philip said, come and see. Come and see. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And here it is again. Someone's trying to find an argument based on class. Someone's trying to find an argument based on, they're invited and they're coming up with an argument. He's from the wrong side of town. And they just say, I love it. Philip just goes, Well, just come and see. Our job is to get people to come. Come on, somebody say amen. Samaritan woman invited the neighbors. John 4, verse 28. Then leaving a jar of water, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who's told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out to the town and made their way toward him. By Matthew, Levi, who gave a huge feast to introduce Jesus. And it says here, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then Levi, watch this, held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. Did you hear that? Here's Matthew, and he meets Christ, and the first thing he does, he puts on a party, and he invites all his friends. Maybe the very first invitation you ought to give to people in terms of inviting them to church is inviting them to your house and putting on a party and bringing Jesus to them at the party. Well, how do I bring Jesus to them? At the party. Talk to them what God did in your life. Break down some of the barriers and the preconceived notions and arguments people have about what a Christian looks like. And then when you do that, say, now, come on, I want you to come to church. Wave Church doesn't have any rules. I don't know if you know that or not, but we're a rule, no rule church. We don't have any rules. We know, like, you know, to be a member of Wave Church, you've got to go to 10 membership classes and then sign a contract. I mean, I know churches that do that. We don't do that. Some people say, well, to have a vote in our church, you've got to be a member. And so, you know, and people say, well, do we vote in Wave Church? We don't have that kind of politics in this church. But let me tell you, people vote every Sunday in this church. You vote by your attendance. You vote by your giving. You vote by whether you're here or not. I mean, we vote out of the wazoo, but we're not going to give over to man-made politics and those sorts of things and the democracy of agendas. I mean, we vote every Sunday. Are you hearing me? But we don't have any rules. But if I had one rule, I would have one rule. We don't have any. But if I were allowed one rule, this would be my rule. Are you ready for it? How many would like to know the one rule that your pastor would love to have at Wave Church? This is it. Real simple. You're not allowed to invite anybody to church. No one is allowed to be invited to church. If it's just an invitation, it won't work. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15 about not now Levi having a banquet, but another man who had a banquet. And he said to his servant, go now and get everybody who's invited and tell them to come because everything's now ready. And the Bible says that the servant came back to the master of the banquet and he said, all those who are invited have reasons why they can't come. Who's ever invited someone to church and they had reasons why they can't come? All right, and every one of them, first one said, I brought a lamb. The other one said, I brought an ox. Another one said, I just got married. You always wonder who wears the pants in that family. I just married. I can't come. And so there it is, you know. And then the master of the banquet says, all right, here's what I want you to do now. Those who are invited aren't coming. Now I want you to go out into the highways, into the cities, and into the lanes, and bring in the crippled, the poor, the blind. And he goes, and compel them. He goes, bring them that my house might be full. Here's the one rule I would love to have. We don't have rules. But if I could have but one, it would be this. Don't just invite people, bring them. Because if you invite them, you're going to give the Lord a hand if you're going to. Because if you invite them, who's ever invited someone to church and they've had a reason on the morning of why they didn't turn up? Like you said, I'll meet you at 10 to 11. Praise the Lord. I'll meet you at 10 to 11 in the foyer. We'll get your kids registered. We'll be in time for the start of the service. You with me here? And then they when you speak to them that afternoon, hey, what happened? Oh, and isn't it amazing how the devil will always see to it that something will happen that morning that they can't make at the church? One of the kids got sick or, you know, they lost the directions or they lost the, something happened. Because let me tell you something, when you invite somebody, it's still putting the onus of the person invited to coming. But when you say what the Bible says here, bring them means you're going to get them and you're bringing them. You see, you cut the devil off by not allowing a distraction or something to happen when you bring them. Can I just encourage everybody here? Let's make sure we are bringers. Take them to lunch afterwards. You know, for some people, bringing them to church as their first encounter might be too much. Maybe you need to throw a party. And then they kind of find out, well, Christians aren't the nerds I thought they were. You better not be a nerd, by the way, if you're having a party. Amen. What you want to do is make sure that you do everything you can. When you're inviting something to somebody to something, you got to create the value of what that is. You with me here? And I want to encourage you, when we invite people to church, it's not like this. I don't suppose you want to go to church, do you? No, I didn't think so. How many know if you did that in sales, it wouldn't be very good? I don't suppose you want to buy a vacuum, do you? No, I didn't think so. No, you got to convince them this is the best vacuum it can suck a bowling ball up. Why it would ever be, I would never buy a vacuum just because it could suck up a bowling ball. You hear me here? But for some people, that seems to do it all. I remember one time I saw this vacuum and they put it on reverse blow and they put a ping pong on the end of the blower, and there was a little ball, and then they put a beach ball, and I'm thinking, that's not inspiring me to buy a vacuum. It's cute, but it's not inspiring me to buy a vacuum. Praise the Lord. I used to be a door-to-door salesperson from the age 13, and I used to go around selling all these like radiator caps and cards. And it's how I got money when I was younger, because my parents didn't have any. I got creative, and I used to sell things. And let me tell you something, I was a good salesperson. At the age of 13, I always made more money than every other person. A guy used to, I think about it now, and I think, dear God, how did my parents let me do this? I got picked up by this guy, this total stranger, and he dropped me off in a neighborhood and said, I'll be back in 2 hours, I'll meet you here. Like in the dark, I used to 13 years of age. Now, would you like? And I didn't say, I don't suppose you want to do it. I go, man, this radiator cap is the best radiator cap. Have you ever got your car overheated and you're too scared to turn it in fear that that water would come up and explode in your face? And this has got a little valve that you can press first and it's safe. And here's a cloth that goes with it. The cloth is free. And all you do is just press this valve. It releases the pressure slowly. And let me tell you, and women would buy it more than men, because women wanted to feel safe. And how many know you just got to work whatever God gave you? And I'm telling you, I sold more radiator caps than anybody else in that whole area. People wanted it. Can I tell you, when we're bringing people to church, let's make sure we create the right picture of what we're bringing them to. Let's make sure. I love what Matthew did. Matthew just had this great party. Amen. Have a party. Invite all your unsaved friends. And let me tell them about what God did in your life. Come on, someone say amen. I think this is good. Look at Cornelius. Cornelius invited his whole family. In Acts chapter 10, how many know Italians know how to work it? I mean, Italians are good. You know, you invite one Italian, how many of you get all of them? Isn't that true? I mean, look at this one. Here it is, Acts chapter 10. The following day in Caesarea, Cornelius was expecting them and gathered together all of his close friends and his relatives. And so I sent immediately for you. It was good for you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord commands us. A good Italian brother. And I want you to notice that God says, come just the way you are. Let's reason together. Don't come when you're good enough. Just come. Amen. An invitation. It's like the little Italian boy thinking about Christmas right now. The little Italian boy, his name's Luigi. And thank God, God doesn't say, well, when you're good enough. Luigi belongs to this single family. He goes to his mom and he goes, Mama, I want the BMX a bicycle for Christmas. And Mama goes, Luigi, why are you making your mother break your mother's heart? You know I got no money. But Mama, I really want a BMX, a bicycle for Christmas. Can I please have a BMX? Mama goes, Luigi, go pray to baby Jesus. I got no money. So poor little Luigi goes over to baby Jesus and he writes out a little note. Dear baby Jesus, if I promise to be a good boy for 6 whole weeks, could I please have a BMX, a bicycle for Christmas? He puts the note under the baby. He's got the whole family, you know, good Italian Catholic family, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and all the angels that glow in the dark, and it's all there. And so, and he puts the note under, and Luigi goes outside, and he cusses, and then he realizes, oh, he goes back inside, and he pulls out the note, and just frustrated with himself, and tears up that note, and writes another note. Dear baby Jesus, if I promise to be a good boy, for 2 whole weeks, could I please have a BMX bike? So Christmas puts it, goes outside, you know, tells a lie, comes back inside, and he goes, dear baby Jesus, if I promise to be a good boy for one day, please, could I have a BMX bicycle for Christmas? And then, of course, he just looks at that note, and this poor kid realizes he can't even be good for a day. And so he's very careful. He thinks about it, and he thinks about what he's going to do, and then he gets this great idea. He goes and finds Mary, Jesus' mother, and he wraps her up very carefully. He wraps her in a towel and takes her down next from Jesus and takes her and puts her in a cupboard and hides her. And then he goes back, and he gets another note. Dear baby Jesus, if ever you want to see your mother again, give me a BMX, a bike for Christmas. Thank God. God says, come just the way you are. Amen. You don't have to get it all together, get rid of your tattoo and your piercings and get your hair cut. Come just the way you are. It's a party. And we ought to make church a party. Church is what you make it. Amen. It ought to be a place of celebration. And here's Cornelius. Hey, we got Peter coming to preach the gospel to us. I'm going to make sure I get all my friends, all my family, all my relatives. No one's missing out. Come on, someone say amen. And I tell you, we see the work. God and Jesus extended invitations and people got saved. The disciples extends invitations and people get saved. Most people are here today and you're saved because somebody invited you. Come on, someone say amen. Isn't that true? My friend Jared Keane invited me to church. I'm here today because someone invited me. He must have invited me 100 times. If he didn't, it was 200. And he wouldn't give up. He didn't know the meaning of the word stop. I didn't like him very much at all. He used to annoy the fool out of me. I'm sitting in some bar trying to talk to some girl, and you know, and I'm sort of thinking maybe I'm getting somewhere, and all of a sudden in walks Jared, and I go, oh God, here it comes. And Jared would sit down uninvited, and he would just put himself there and start talking about Jesus. The girl would leave, and now I'm left with the Apostle Paul. And I'm going, dude, you're killing me. Just go away. Then his brother got saved. His brother was a professional boxer. This is a true story. He once put an entire football team in hospital. They all decide they're going to jump him and attack him. He beat an entire football team and put each and every one of them in hospital. Then he's just a brand new Christian. And he's the opposite of Jared. Jared's this nice, gentle guy, not his brother. If you look up the word bad in a dictionary, there's a photo of Jared's brother. And he said to me, if you don't come to church, I'm going to beat your blankety blank head in. You got to know, I know this guy, and he would do it. So I said, praise the Lord. That's how I came to church. Now, I'm not recommending that as a style of evangelism. But I'm just saying, heaven's inviting. God modeled it. Isaiah prophesied it. And most of you are here today because somebody invited you. When was the last time you brought somebody? When was the last time we invited somebody? Come on, someone say amen. Let's put it to work. I love this. Invite people. Maybe for some people, church on Sunday might be too much for the first invitation. So maybe you invite them to the Bible study. Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the word of the Lord shall go out from Jerusalem. Maybe the very first invitation is to invite somebody to your house and maybe to a Bible study. But whatever you do, let's make sure we're bringing. And I'm thinking about this time of year, and I'm thinking about the Grinch, and I'm thinking about church between now and Christmas. And I'm thinking, I'm in South Africa, and God puts it in my heart. Steve, make sure that Wave Church is still bringing people. And here's the challenge. Who's invited your world and they say, I'm just not interested. You've asked me and I'm not going to go. Who's ever had that happen? Okay, here's what I want to say to you. Do you know the Bible? I'm not saying you dust those people off in the sense of you ride them off and say, well, you can go to hell. But I want to tell you this, you make sure that you make sure your world gets larger and meet some new people and move on to the next person. I remember I was all so consumed with my best friend from fifth grade all the way through high school and even out of high school into getting a job and thinking about what that was. My best friend was straighty 180. His name was John Sims. If John was drinking his apple juice, not soda, apple juice, if he was drinking his apple juice and a drop spilled onto his shoe, John would bring out his kerchief and he would wet it and then wash his shoe so that that would be no stain. John was like one of the nicest, cleanest cut guys, and we became the best of friends. And I began to drink at a young age, and I was determined that I'm going to bring my friend John into the bars and into the clubs with me. And John at first didn't want to do it. Then I began to do drugs. And I'm going, come on, John, you got no idea what this is like. And this is amazing. And John, over a period of a year or two, became one of the worst drug addicts. And he used to say to me, I can't believe what I used to be like before. He used to say, you've changed my life. Thank you. I'm going, it's all good. And then I became a Christian. And all I could think about was my friend John. I invited him to be at our wedding. And my best friend, I grew up with this guy. We were tight. We did everything together. We were arrested together. We got away from a few of those arrests, I might add. And I once talked myself out of something that I'm not proud of. And my friend John, you know, we were there. He was with me through thick and thin. I said, John, I want you to be at my wedding. I want you to be one of my groomsmen. And I used to invite him to church. He'd always say no. And when I asked him to be the groomsman, he said, Steve, let's face it, we're two different people. I said, John, you followed me into the bars, you followed me into the clubs, why can't you follow me to Jesus? He goes, I want nothing to do with your God. And I'm telling you something, I didn't get paralyzed and lose heart and never invite someone else to come to church. I just went, okay, I'm going to keep on reaching out to people. Amen. And I was so heartbroken about my friend John. Anybody relate to this? I was so heartbroken about my friend John. I went to someone one day for prayer about it. I said, I'm just disturbed. And this person said something that absolutely helped me. They said, here's what I believe the Lord's telling me to tell you. That you're to give John to Jesus. And there will come a day and there will come a time when the Lord speaks to you and say, call John now. And in that moment, God will have prepared his heart where he'll be open and receptive to reach out. Now, that happened, we got married when I was I 20? 20 when we got married. And it was right at that time because I'd asked him to be in our bridal party. And from that day, I mean this now, from that day, that was 32 years ago, there isn't a time when I still don't say, Lord, if you tell me to ring John, I'll ring him. And I'm still waiting for that moment when the Lord says, I've worked on his heart. He's now ready. Can I encourage you, just because the people that you've invited, don't give up. Just wait. But at the same time, don't stop. Don't get a bigger world. Just make sure you're in reaching new people. Get a new hobby. Get some new friends. Amen. Reach out to new people. Don't just stop there. Don't get discouraged when people don't accept the invitation. Is this helping anybody? Come on, give a Lord a hand if you're receiving. Never give up. Never give up. Singers, musicians, come on back here at Great Neck. Praise the Lord. Amen. And at Seaboard. Come on, join us on the stage. Because here's what we do. We make this word evangelism something that we can remove ourselves from. But can I just tell you, God's plan is always an invitation. Amen. If someone were to decline the invitation, we're free to offer it to someone else. Never underestimate the power of a simple invitation. Amen. It has transformed the lives of countless thousands of people. And I want to say to you, perhaps souls are not being saved simply because they're not being invited. Can you say amen? Listen to the last scripture, Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Look at me, my friends. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more powerful than feeling like you're included, you're invited, you're welcome. And I want to make sure that I've done what I believe the Holy Spirit put in my heart in South Africa. A burden, not too heavy a burden, but a burden that God has for Hampton Roads. That we don't just get comfortable in the church that we're a part of. And we ought to be uncomfortable when we're thinking about people we live with every day that we bump into. And all they need is someone who will engage them. Someone who will just invite them. And when they see that your love for church and your love for God is something that's so real and tangible and express. And when they say, all right, I'll come. And your excitement. Let me tell you something. It's adding to the story. It's God preparing their heart for God to do something. And when we see people give their life to Jesus here and at Great Neck and all of our locations, heaven celebrates. And I pray we never lose the wonder. We never get to a point where we're so saved that we've got no unsaved friends. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord.